Golf Smarter number 189 for July 28, 2009.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
The Harold Swash School of Putting Excellence with Phil Kenyon.
This is Golf Smarter, sharing tips and insights from golfers and golf professionals to help lower your score. It's worked for your host, Fred Green.
Welcome and thanks for downloading another episode of the Golf Smarter podcast. Thanks for all your feedback on the members-only episode we did with comedian Maddie B last week. Even if you only heard the two-minute tease, you got a good sense of how much fun we had. And I want to comment to the women who have written in about that show. Thank you. Thank you very much for understanding that Maddie is a comic, and his comments were tongue-in-cheek and not to be taken personally. He's actually very respectful of women, or his wife would beat the crap out of him. But for those of you who heard the entire 45-minute episode, even though you didn't get a valuable lesson to take to the range, I'm confident that you got some laughs and maybe even a couple of things to repeat to your friends while you're on the course. If you do want a valuable tip from Maddie B, then make sure you check out the short video we did at Golf Smarter TV. I've probably told you too many times now that the Golfer's Mart is about to open. I apologize, because right now we only have one issue left to resolve, and it's including the shipping costs for products that we have to send overseas. When we launch our little store, there will be a few items to choose from, but all will be, I hope, of great value to you. First, if you're not a Golf Smarter member, we're going to have individual episodes from the archives available for 99 cents each. There's just too much content out there not to share with everybody. We're starting with the mental coaches. I'm going to handpick different episodes that I know have been more popular. So the mental coaches is a great place to start. Like the first interview we did with Fred Shoemaker back in 2006 will be available. Also, multiple episodes with Dr. Joe Parent of Zen Golf, teachers like Darren G., Michael Anthony, Kerry Mumford. In all, 22 different shows will be part of our archives grand opening, all for 99 cents each. But let me warn you, if you missed part two of our conversation with Fred Shoemaker this spring, then you'll have to be a Golf Smarter member, because only Golf Smarter members are going to be able to hear Golf Smarter member episodes. None of the members-only episodes will be available for 99 cents. Now, speaking of the memberships, some of you, like Hiro Kobayashi in Japan, have said that you appreciate the fact that I've added value to the Golf Smarter membership with the balls and the magazine subscription, but he's only interested, and you may only be interested, in the podcast. As always, I like to get your feedback, and I respond to it. So now you have choices when you become a member. Get just the podcasts and be available for more prizes and significant discounts in the Mart, or get the value-added package worth nearly $60 for only $10 more. All right, I'm a little sidetracked today because I have so much news, and after the interview, I'll fill you in on some huge news about our President's Cup Golf Smarter Party and information about the Prague Adventure, making it a weekend-only package. But David Largent, a longtime listener who's also in the golf industry back in Hong Kong, requested that I talk to Philip Kenyon, Director of Instruction for the Harold Swash School of Putting Excellence in Merseydale, England. If you're familiar with Yes Putters, then you've heard of their inventor, Harold Swash, and his C-Groove technology. This is the first part of a two-part conversation with Philip where we talk about putting, putters, and putter technology. And next week, Philip will answer your questions. Welcome to the Golf Smarter podcast, Phil.
Hi, Fred. You well?
I'm well, and you're well. Skype is so amazing. Tell me where you are.
I'm at home, which and home for me is Southport, which is in the northwest of England, about 20 miles north of Liverpool. I don't know if you.
I have
you
not
know
been.
Liverpool.
I have not been, but I want to congratulate you for being the very first person on Golf Smarter that is calling from that side of the planet.
Thank you.
It's incredible. So let's talk about the Harold Swash Putting School of Excellence. You are the director of instruction there.
Yeah, that's right. For my sins.
Tell me about the school and what the focus of the school is.
Well, basically, we have an indoor studio which is based in Southport, and we just provide, you know, putting specific instruction and fitting. Harold himself has been involved in the industry as a kind of putting coach and designer of putting training aids and putters for over 40 years. So it's just evolved over the years. And about 8 years ago, we set up our first indoor facility of our own, so to speak. So, yeah, we welcome all comers, whether you're a kind of a seasoned golfer or new to the game or tour professional. If we can help you, then we'll do our best.
And why the decision to just focus on putting only at your school?
I think it's, I mean, like I say, Harold, 40 years back, through his engineering background, really started to look at putter design, and through getting involved in various projects, started to understand a lot more about putting technique, and through his access to tour players, developed his philosophy, and really was ahead of his time, really, when you think even now, these days, you know, putting instruction is very much undervalued. So we feel that there's a bit of a niche market. I don't know what it's like in America, but I think in the UK, a lot of PGA professionals tend to shy away from putting instruction. But yet, for most golfers, it's the one area of the game that they can improve, and the one route where they can cut, you know, shots off their handicap quite quickly.
That is the place where, if you're going to score well, I mean, this whole idea of driving the ball longer is more ego thing, I would think, than anything else. And that if you really want to lower your scores, you got to do it from 100 yards and in, right? And even more specifically on the green itself.
Drive for show, put for dough, wasn't it? Who said that? Was it Sam Snead or somebody?
No, that was me.
Yeah.
That was me. I think, okay. I've said it two or three times because I don't show very well. So what is your background and how did you meet up with Harold?
Okay. I've known Harold ever since I was in short trousers, really. He's a very good family friend, a friend of my father's and mother's. And so really when I first got introduced to the game, Harold was there to help me. So he kind of watched my development as a golfer and also as a, you know, as a teenager, and we spent a lot of time together. So I got an insight into Harold's work and what he did, and obviously with my interest in golf, it was, you know, fascinating for me. And then you know, I went on to university and to play professional golf for a while, and during that time, you know, I grew closer to Harold and would get more involved. And then when it came time to kind of hang up my playing boots, I got more closely involved with Harold and focused on that from a full-time point of view, which has really taken up the last 6 years of my life, you know, working quite closely with Harold, building up the school and what we do.
Mm-hmm. And do you work with amateurs and professionals?
Yeah, like I mentioned before, all comers, really. We get a wide range of golfers that come through the studio, whether it's for instruction or for putter fitting. And obviously, there are a few guys out on tour that we work with, so golfers of all abilities, really.
Are you able to share some names of some of the people that you work with, or you specifically, and who come through the school that we may have heard of?
Sure, yeah. Okay, one of our students that's been doing really well of late is a Swedish golfer called Henrik Stenson.
Mm-hmm.
We have been doing some work recently with Martin Kamer from Germany, who's a really, you know, promising player who's made great inroads over the last couple of years. On the European Tour, guys like Ollie Fischer. He's a very young golfer. I think he was one of the youngest golfers to get his European Tour card. Ollie Wilson, who's a Ryder Cup player, played in America at the last Ryder Cup. Mark Foster, Martin Lefebvre, and numerous other guys on the European Tour, which some of your viewers may have heard of if they watch the Golf Channel.
Yeah, yeah. There's also, on your website, there's a testimonial from a very high-profile player, the website being haroldswashputting.co.uk, and we'll give people more information about that on our blog and links to it. So a very, very high profile PGA Tour player who does a nice testimonial. You want to talk about that, please?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I didn't mention Padraig there because he's not someone that I've actually done any work with myself, but Harald's resume would be on here for an hour. Just going through Harald's resume, he's worked with some of the best players in the world, and I think one of them, which Harald really feels quite proud about, is Padraig Harrington. Harald's done a lot of work over the years with Padraig. They don't spend too much time together these days, but he's been very influential in Padraig's career, particularly in the early stages of his career. And it was great for Padraig to give us a testimonial for our website. And I think if anybody deserves anything out of the game, from what Harald tells me, it's Padraig in his approach, you know, to not leaving any stone unturned, you know, to make himself a better golfer and not just a better putter. So,
Fabulous. Well, congratulations. One of the other things that kind of jumped out at me about Harald on the website is they called him the Miracle Man of Augusta. What does that mean? Because if we've ever watched the Masters before, we know the speed of the greens at Augusta. What did Harald have to do with that?
Well, Harald has suffered from some ill health over the years. He's had a heart bypass many years ago, and I'm just trying to think of the year now, but quite a few years back at Augusta, when he was on the putting green, he suffered from a ruptured aortic aneurysm.
Oh my God!
Which he was very lucky to survive from, because I believe it's a very small sort of percentage survival rate. But luckily for Harald, by the side of the green at Augusta was a surgeon who was a specialist in this area, who identified his symptoms. They rushed him into hospital, and luckily I believe that the operating theatre was set up for a similar type of operation, which again saved time. Harald was rushed into surgery, and after quite a lengthy operation, made a full recovery. So the nurses at the hospital in Augusta called him the Miracle Man.
So it has nothing to do with what he's taught people on how to putt. It's just the fact that he's a survivor.
And, you could say that about Harald. He's definitely a survivor, yeah.
And we're grateful for it. And I'm sure you are, too. I'm sure.
If he was a cat, I think he'd be on his last life now. He's only used about eight of them.
Gosh, I hope not. I hope that there's a lot more years to come. Well, let's talk about putting a little bit here. I want to get into some putting fundamentals with you. And we also, before we're done here today, I want to talk about Harald's design in putters and what kind of impact he's had and the line of putters that he's had a high influence on. But I want to talk about putting fundamentals. I want to see what you can do to help me and us on this. And let's start with the idea that some schools that we've talked to said that they break you down from the bottom up and then start you all over. And then there are other schools who want to focus on what you have and work with that. There are so many different types of grips that people put on putters. Is there one that the Harald Swash School of Putting School of Excellence wants everybody to do, or do you allow people to come in and say, "This is how I putt. Help me be a better putter"? How does it work for you guys?
Yeah, I think they're obviously, you know, everybody's different. Everybody has individual characteristics which you need to take into account. But there are some, you know, simple fundamentals which we like all our students to try and, you know, adopt, which are based on, you know, scientific principles. But at the same time, you have to be adaptable and flexible to the individual that you have in front of you. You're trying to make that individual putt better. So it's a combination of both, really, to skirt around that question, Fred.
Come on.
No, sincerely, I think it is a combination of both. You've got to work with the student you've got in front of you, and you've got to make sure what they have is an accurate and efficient, you know, technique.
What do you see as the biggest problem that most people bring to their putting game? I mean, I know on your swing, you know, there's the position, grip, and alignment. Does that also fall into line in putting as well?
Yeah, I think so. I think setup is of utmost importance, you know, in the putting stroke. I see, you know, 90% of faults just stemming from setup, really. And so from having a, you know, if we can get a student into a neutral setup position, they've got a chance of developing a, you know, quite a neutral stroke. But from a poor setup position, you know, you've not got a lot of time or room to make compensation. So poor setup you see a lot of, and just as an aspect of setup, particularly with higher handicappers or, you know, club golfers, just poor alignment, inability to actually align the club to the target point, so which is a starting point of the setup, really.
And explain to me what you mean by neutral setup.
Just, you know, the first thing that we're looking to do is obviously align the golf club to the target point. We're looking for the club face to be square to the target, both the setup and the strike position. And you know, the second fundamental we like to see is to develop a path where the club face is square to the path. So at the moment of impact, you know, for the club to be running down the target line. I mean, in reality, the putting stroke will have a slight arc to that stroke. But through impact, we're looking for the club to be running down the target line and club face square to the path. Now, to help achieve those fundamentals, when I talk about a neutral setup position, you know, we want, you know, our eyes in an optimum position, which kind of run down the ball to target line, running parallel to that line, and the body to be the alignment of the upper body to be neutral as well, because that can influence the path of the stroke. So when we talk about neutral, we're talking about, you know, neutral body parts, parallel alignment, and good eye positioning, those type of aspects.
I know that I've had I had a revelation recently when I realized that my feet were not square to my target line, that I really was, my feet were really kind of angled so the ball would, if I hit it dead straight, it would go just to the right of the hole, which was happening all the time. I was leading it just to the right, just to the right.
Yeah. Well, these are certain things which for some people can be an idiosyncrasy. You know, it's trying to look at that individual and determine what's an idiosyncrasy and what's a fault. Because mm-hmm. People have different putting styles, slightly different putting stances, etc. And I think it becomes a fault when it doesn't function correctly. You know, for everybody, or for yourself, you know, you mentioned that it didn't function for you, but some people could put well with a slightly open stance or a slightly closed stance. And if you look at it a little bit deeper, you know, the stance really doesn't affect the path as much as the upper body alignment and the alignment of the shoulders or the alignment of the hips. So you could get away with maybe standing a little bit open or a little bit closed if that functioned for you.
Oh, interesting. The shoulders and hips are more important than the feet position themselves.
Yeah, I think the further up you get the body you get, the more important that body part's alignment would be.
And you probably want your lower half of your body very quiet during your putting stroke.
Well, ideally, you're looking for the lower half to be relatively stable and then, you know, just pivoting the shoulders around a fixed point. But for some people, doesn't always sound that easy, or is that easy. But from an ideal perspective, we're trying to create stability in the lower half and then pivot the shoulders very cleanly around that fixed point.
Hmm. Interesting. There's so much controversy between on the putting stroke itself of a straightforward, straight back, straight forward versus an arc. You mentioned the arc, that it just needs to be square at the point of impact. What's your feelings about that controversy?
Yeah,
that conversation.
I mean, like you said, we have a few fundamentals that we work on, and one of them is the fact that what we're looking for in the stroke is to keep the club face square to the path. Now, for some people, they might move the club on more of an arc than the next person. if both people can keep the club face square to their path, then it means that through impact we're not going to put too much side spin on the ball. And it depends on individual characteristics. It depends on that person's posture. It depends on the plane that they rotate their shoulders on. There are a few individual characteristics that you take into account which will determine each person's path. From an ideal perspective, you don't want too much of an arc, too great of an arc, because in essence, the club would appear to rotate too much. And if the club is rotating too much through the point of impact, then if you've got things like variability in ball position or body movement, then the club is only square at one point through that excessive arc. And it can make it difficult to time where that square point is and obviously start the ball online. So, you know, we accept that the putting stroke will have an arc due to the fact that we stand to the side of the ball. You know, generally our shoulders will rotate a little bit. But we're looking to try and minimise that arc so we don't have excessive rotation.
And what about the position of your hands? I mean, I used to be left hand low. And yep. Now my hands are almost at the same spot. You know, they're parallel with one another. Some people like to go right hand low. And some people do a claw grip. And, you know, there's so many different grips. What do you favor?
I think left hand low has been, you know, has really helped a lot of people. And right hand low has obviously been the more conventional grip. And I think either can work for that individual or for any individual. One of the things that we like to see is that for the grip to be more in the palm of the hand. So, you know, Harold has always termed it running down a lifeline. If you grip the club as you would do in the full swing, or as most people would teach in the full swing, where it runs more across the fingers, then physiologically that becomes a very strong position to hold a club in. And if you think about it in the full swing, you hold it in the fingers because you want to increase the range of motion within that wrist. Now, if you grip the club in the fingers in the putting stroke, and then we increase the range of motion and the wrists start to break, you can actually cause excessive rotation to the path. You know, and it's very easy for your hands to become involved. I mean, even if the hands start to become involved, a small movement at the butt of the club actually produces quite a big movement at the end of the club. So even things like distance control can become more difficult through that additional speed that can be added through the hinging of the wrist. So by trying to just, you know, eliminate some of that hand action through placing the club more in the palm, okay, so it's harder for you to use your hands, then, you know, that would be something that we'd be looking for with to try and install as a principle with a lot of the golfers that we work with.
Interesting, because for me, when I was using right hand low when I was first starting putting, I noticed that I was breaking my wrist a lot more, that I was pushing it with my right hand, and so my wrist would break, and that if I kept my left hand low, I was able to keep my arm straight and the back of my hand towards the target a lot better.
Yeah, and that's something that you hear with a lot of students. So, you know, whether you're left hand low or right hand low, whichever feels most comfortable, and more importantly, whichever functions best for the golfer, you know, that type of grip combined with gripping through the palm or through the lifeline, so the shaft actually starts to look like an extension of your arm, then you know that those grips can work well and function well.
Interesting. I like the idea of through the lifeline, of having the palm, the club going through the lifeline of your hand.
Yeah, I mean, basically, if you, from a setup position, looking down the ball to target line, or if the golfer could stand in front of a mirror and kind of put towards a mirror, if the club is held through the lifeline, then the club or the shaft should look to form an extension of the forearm. And that's always a nice kind of a line or relationship that we like to see.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, now I'm interested in asking you about putters, because I personally have always liked a center shaft putter versus the shaft at the heel. Do you have a preference, or do you see one being an advantage over another?
think the most important thing for the golfer is what they do. I think there's a lot written about putter types, you know, whether centre shaft or face balanced or heel toe heavy. But the golfer really can overcome, you know, most of the problems that putting, or most of the challenges that putting gives you through the application of good technique. The most important characteristics of the putter really are the length of the putter, so that the person's set up in, you know, their ideal posture, the lie angle of the putter, so that the club is fitted to their stance and style, and the loft of the putter, so that we're maximising, you know, the student's ball roll. Putter style, well, you're looking for something that's going to have a reasonably sized sweet spot, but through good technique you can start to overcome all the other challenges really. So although there are lots of different styles out there, the most important thing I think to focus on is what you do as a golfer.
Yeah. Well, it's a nice approach to hear somebody who's teaching to say, yeah, we got to work with what you have and then make it work for you, as opposed to we're going to break it down and start all over.
Well, yeah, I think, like you say, there are four fundamentals that we try and work on, which are always revolved around the what's happened with the club face. Club face being square, it's set up and impact. You know, the club face being square to the path. The fact that we want to try and get the ball rolling as opposed to jumping or skidding. So that comes down to, you know, the golfer striking the ball with an upward blow, but also with the correct amount of loft at impact. And then the final fundamental is the fact that every putt's a straight putt, okay? It's the pace that you hit it that determines the break that it takes. So it's the importance of being able to control the speed of the club, and that comes down to not just technique but rhythm and tempo. So we're always looking for the golfer to try and establish those four fundamentals. And how we do it, well, you've got to look at how that golfer sets up and how that golfer moves. So you're looking at, you know, is their posture maximising what they do? Does their grip help them achieve those fundamentals? You know, does their stance and balance help them achieve those four fundamentals? So, you know, with some golfers, sometimes you have to break them down and build them back up again. With other golfers, it's just a case of just giving them a nudge in the right direction just to help them become a little bit more efficient.
You mentioned that one of the fundamentals is the ball rolling, is coming off the club face and not jumping off. Now, that kind of gets us into C-groove technology, which Harold Swash is known for, correct? He invented this idea?
Harold did, yeah.
Explain it to me, please. What does it mean?
Well, basically, through Harold's, like you say, Harold's been around for a long time, and through his kind of research and the various products he'd been involved with before, Harold really started to appreciate the importance of ball roll. You know, the fact that if we could get the ball rolling, you know, pretty much off the face of the putter, it's more likely to stay on its intended line. You know, if someone's through the putter or their own stroke creating a ball that's chipped into the earth and skids before it rolls, it can very easily be deflected offline, and it also makes distance control harder. So Harold, through various processes, came up with the idea of putting concentric grooves on the face of the putter, and he took this design to Yes Golf, which at the time was a company called Pro Gear, and the C-groove putter was born, really. And then through all the independent testing that they did, using high-speed cameras, it was clinically shown and proven that the C-groove putter could actually get the ball rolling sooner than a lot of other its major kind of competitors on the market.
And the advantage to the average golfer on getting that ball rolling is?
Well, like I say, if you can get the ball rolling, the sooner you can get the ball rolling, the more likely the ball is to stay on its intended line, and it will also help you in terms of consistency of pace control, consistency of being able to judge the speed of the putt.
And so, Yes Putters right now are the only people that employ the C-groove technology?
C-groove technology, yeah. I mean, there are other groove putters on the market.
Yeah.
The C-groove putter was probably, I think, the first real groove putter that received, you know, kind of recognition in the marketplace. So obviously on the back of that, there have been, you know, other groove putters out. Seagroove would be the kind of leading groove putter manufacturer at present.
Yeah, because so many different putters and manufacturers have putters with the face inserts and the soft inserts, and, you know, there's no grooves at all. It's kind of, I don't know, just kind of a rough surface. But you feel that, and yes, putters feel that having the grooves really help keep the ball rolling purely.
Yes, yeah, basically. I mean, there's lots of different putters out there and lots of different philosophies, and I think it depends a lot on what your philosophy is. I know there are certain putter manufacturers that if you went for a fitting with them, they'd be encouraging you to for the ball to jump and skid. But we try to look at things from a scientific viewpoint, you know, and try and understand, you know, what the effects of if a ball jumps and skids. So, the concept of ball roll is something that, yes, I've obviously, you know, fundamentally behind. It's part of our teaching philosophy. So, it's something that we work on a lot. And, the Seagroove certainly will help the average golfer roll the ball that bit quicker. You know, lots of golfers through poor technique, okay, will add lots of loft, and as a result, the ball will jump. Well, the grooves can help counteract that. I mean, like I said before, you know, with good technique, there's a lot that can be overcome. But a lot of golfers are looking for that quick fix, aren't they?
Yeah,
and,
of course.
Certainly the groove component of the putter will help them produce a quicker and better ball roll.
Wow, interesting. Well, it's so neat to go to the yesgolf.com and look at the different styles. I really enjoyed seeing the fact that it's all about the grooves, and there's so many different styles that will appeal to so many different types of golfers. I know that for me, like I said, I like a center shafted putter, and I saw that you have a couple there that are interesting in the way they look. And, you know, you also have the belly and long putters as well.
Yeah, there are lots of the, you know, yes, I've built up quite a big substantial range now, and there are, because a lot, you know, in terms of how a putter looks and feels, a lot of aesthetics involved. Like I mentioned, if you can get fitted correctly and you make sure that the putter is set up in terms of the right length, loft, and lie, then there's a lot to be said with then picking a putter which you like, the look of, which aesthetically, you know, looks pleasing to you. So the good thing about the S range is that there are lots of different models, so you can pick one that you like. And obviously for other golfers looking at, outside of conventional putting techniques, you've got the long and the belly putters as well. And I think for long or belly putters, the Seagroove really does work well, because typically what you'll find is that, guys using that style of putter will tend to add a lot more loft during the stroke, dynamically. So if you've got the Seagroove working for you there, then obviously it's going to help in terms of the ball roll.
Oh, that's an interesting thought. Very good. Phil, I wanted to ask you specifically, there's so many different types of putters that Yes Golf offers, but they've got a new one out called the Dawn Putter?
Yes, that's going to be out shortly, I believe.
And why is that unique to everything else?
It's based upon one of the most successful models that Yes have had out, the Yes Cali has been a particularly popular model. But the Dawn is CNC milled, so it gives it a little bit more of a polished look and feel. And there's some slight modifications in terms of aesthetics. So it's that traditional Anser style head that was made popular way back by Carsten Solheim, which has lasted its time. So it's that more traditional look, CNC milled, and I'm sure it's going to be successful with those Yes lovers out there.
All right. I have to ask you, it seems like when I'm looking through the new models, the blades, the mallets, all the different putters, they'll have women's names.
Yes, yeah.
And what's that about?
Do you want the official version or the unofficial version, Fred?
Let's go unofficial.
No. There's only one true story. I mean, I always pull Harold's leg when people ask him that they're all named after Harold's lady friends. So we have a bit of a giggle there. But the true story is that I think many years ago, the putters originally were just named after numbers, to identify them. And at the time, what's now the Tracy model was used. Being used by Retief Goosen, and Retief won a US Open with it, which was obviously fantastic for Yes.
Sure.
And was great publicity. And I believe that allegedly Yes spoke to Retief about trying to come together for some sort of endorsement, working together. And they were going to call the putter the Goose. Now, For whatever reason, I believe his main manufacturing sponsor didn't want this to happen. And so his contract then was changed so it wouldn't allow it. So unfortunately, they were left in a position where they couldn't call the putter after Retief, so they called it after his wife, who's called Tracy. Yeah. So that was the starting point, really. You had Tracy, and then some of the later models were named after Harold's granddaughter, Emma, his daughter, Heather, and more recently his great granddaughter, which is who's called Abby. Oh. So they're all named after kind of women or ladies who are associated in some way with people involved in the company.
Well, listen, I would love to have you come back because I have a lot of questions from listeners. And I think what we'll do is you and I are going to continue recording, but we're going to have a second part of this conversation, and it'll be available only to our Golf Smarter Extra listeners, and you'll be able to answer a bunch of these questions, and I still have a lot more questions that I want to ask you as well. Can we do that?
Sure, I'd love to come back on it. It'll be great, yeah, no
great.
Problem.
So thanks so much to Harold Squash Putting. .co.uk and also to yesgolf.com. And again, all that information is going to be on our blog and our website for you to check that out. So, Phil, thanks so much for your time and looking forward to finishing the conversation.
Pleasure. Thanks, Fred.
And thank you, Philip, because actually when we recorded this conversation a few months ago, Philip was very kind in helping me to replace my putter when I lost my complete set of clubs. And, of course, there are always seem to be silver linings, aren't there? I told him that I like a 33-inch center-shafted mallet putter, and Yes had two versions that they sent me to test. I've got to say that I've never been more confident within 8 feet as I am right now with my Yes putter. I have just grown to fall in love with this club, so I really hope I don't lose these clubs, especially when I fly to Prague. Oh, God, that would be awful. Anyway, in regards to my confidence with this putter, I played a round last week that I only had 28 putts, and I shot an 83. Now, I'm usually at a 34 to 37 putts per round, so 28 is pretty remarkable for me, and it really is something that, you know, I talk to you about all the time. It's about your confidence. And I just feel when I'm standing 5, 6, 7 feet, the hole is the size of a beach ball. I can just drop anything inside of it, and I'm just really falling in love with this putter. Yes Putters, check them out. I've been talking for a while about getting together the day after the President's Cup in San Francisco, and it's all coming together really well. The Golf Smarter Party on Monday, October 12th, will be happening at Peacock Gap in Marin County. Now, this is just about 30 minutes north of Harding Park, where they're playing the President's Cup. We have space available for about 30 players. So let me give you some reasons why you should join us. Number one, if you heard the interview I did with Forrest Richardson, he was the architect in charge of the redesign of Peacock Gap on an episode we did back in December of 2007. Then you heard what he did with the course. So this is your opportunity to come out and play it and see exactly what he did. Don't you want to play it? And two, not only will we play golf, but after the round of golf, we're going to have a barbecue. Peacock Gap's giving us a barbecue to have. But then right after the barbecue, we're going to do a group recording of a future episode of Golf Smarter. We've got one guest locked in, Adam Eisner, the head teaching professional at Peacock Gap. He actually, I'm pretty sure that he played in the European Tour, and he has played in Prague. I know he's played in Prague. So we're going to talk to him, and you will get to ask questions as well as being there as I do the interview. Now, the second person that we have lined up for another interview, and he'll if it happens, he'll be first. I can't say his name yet because although everything is seems to be in order, it's not locked in yet, but it looks like we have a commitment from a company who, all right, I'll give you some hints here. Now, this guy's been on the show a couple times. He was on the Golf Better podcast. He's now the COO of a golf club manufacturer. And he's, you getting the idea of who I'm talking about? He really got a great response from you. On the shows that he's been on, he's so interesting and he's so knowledgeable that I just want to have him on the show a lot. And I've asked you to email him to have him on the show a lot. And so he would love to come out and do an interview and be part of this and meet you and talk to you and answer your questions face to face as we do this recording. So that's reason enough to show up to play golf with us for that recording session alone. Reason number five, it's just going to be fun. Okay. And of course, there are going to be different pricing structure for this event. If you're a Golf Smarter member, you're going to get to pay a lower price. If you sign up to be a Golf Smarter member and to play golf, you're going to get a break on your membership. Or if you just want to come out and play golf, there's a price for that too. Lots of reasons to join us for the Golf Smarter Party. It's Monday, October 12th at Peacock Gap in Marin County. Details and signups are at golfsmarter.com. If they're not there yet, come back tomorrow because we're getting there soon. And so listen, if you're in the Bay Area or you're coming to San Francisco for the President's Cup, plan on spending one more day here. Be with us for the Monday. It's Columbus Day. It's a holiday. I really want to meet you, and I hope that you can be part of the fun. Now, getting to meet you, our Golf Smarter adventure in Prague this September. So excited. Falk, another Golf Smarter listener in Germany, he suggested years ago that I come to Europe and do something like this. He said he wants to come out and play, but he can't do it on Monday because he has to work. So what we've done is for those of you in Europe who can join us, but you don't want to miss any work, instead of the Friday to Monday adventure, if you need, you can either join us for Friday to Sunday or Saturday to Monday. So if you arrive Friday, late Friday after work, you can play golf with us on Saturday and Sunday and leave Sunday night. If you can't make it till after Friday night, you want to show up Saturday morning and then play with us on Sunday and Monday, you can do that too. We've reduced the pricing for those of you to do that kind of package. Now, come on, I've talked to a bunch of you in Europe already. I've emailed you. You said you're really interested. Now, if this isn't enough incentive to make it work for you, what can I do? So it's all available, and of course, if you're a Golf Smarter member, the price is even lower. Clearly, I'm looking for the most inventive ways for us to play golf together, so let's play golf. Now, talking about our membership benefits, on our members-only shows, I always give away a prize, and I forgot to do it last week. Oops. So I'd like to announce that I'm sending a copy of a book by Manuel de la Torre, who we talked to a couple weeks ago, Understanding the Golf Swing. It's going out to Nick Chertok of Alameda, California. Congratulations, Nick. And thank you again for becoming a member. And do me a favor, buddy. Tell your friends about the podcast and tell them about all these benefits. One of the benefits of a full membership is the Dixon Earth Golf Balls and the subscription to Fairways and Greens magazine. Well, the first issue of Fairways and Greens magazine is being sent out to members right now, the first one that's come out since we've been doing the membership thing. And you're really going to enjoy this issue because it's their technology issue. So lots of gear being talked about. And there's also an ad for Golf Smarter on page 20. If you want to see how much fun I had playing with members and winners up at Edgewood Tahoe, I'm going to post a video with photos from the event on Golf Smarter TV channel. Meet the whole group and see how much fun golf is when you're a Golf Smarter listener. Okay, I think I got all the information this week. Clearly, we have a lot going on and hope that you can join us for more of the podcasts and adventures that golfsmarter.com. This is a great time for Golf Smarter, and thanks for all your continued support and encouragement. Keep going. So I close with a quote that comes from member Aaron Billman, who is curious to know, why is it that you can hit a two-acre fairway only 10% of the time, but nail a two-inch branch 90% of the time? Next week for members only, part two with Philip Kenyon of the Harold Swash School of Putting Excellence, answering questions that you have submitted. If you have any questions for me or comments or suggestions or quotes that we can close the show with, click on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com.
Smarterpodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.